You are listening to EP Culture Beat, the underground source of El Paso, Texas. As of this recording, it's been really rainy in El Paso.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we almost canceled this interview because it was really pouring when I texted you. It was really, really pouring.
Yes, sir.
And I like your attitude. You're like, nah, the show must go on.
I'm out here. Let's do it, man. It's going to be a dangerous drive back.
So how's it going, man?
I'm doing great right now. COVID's done. I hope it is. You know, they're talking about that variant thing, but I hope that's done. Mm-hmm. But I've been feeling real good about the show. Mm-hmm. That's gone real well. My opening weekend was incredible.
Yeah, you're currently, before you go on, go ahead and introduce yourself to the people listening out there.
Sure, sure. So my name is Juan Ornelas. I'm a pop artist. I've been drawing my whole life, but started painting about 10 years ago when I went to last Thursday's El Paso at the Loft Light Gallery downtown, the famous Loft Light Gallery. I got to see a market there, and it just inspired me to, you know, I got to get my stuff out there too. Saw people doing their thing, and it was just beyond inspiring to see that El Paso has this type of creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been just going at it for 10 years now, painting off and on, having shows. This last one.
Yeah, right now you're at?
Right now I'm at Galleria Lincoln. Yeah. Yes, sir. And with Tino, he gave me this opportunity. It's been just a blessing, and to work with Tino, who's like one of the kings of art in El Paso, mm-hmm. like just what an awesome opportunity.
And you're there till the end of July. Your pieces are there.
Yes, sir. Through the end of July. My hours are going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 3 to 7.
And that gallery is right across from everybody's favorite brewery. Old
Sheepdog Brewery. Yeah. Yes, yes, man. Oh, man, you got to come out.
What's
come
that
out
synergy like since you've been there for a while?
Amazing, man. I don't know if Gus, if he's had that like feel the whole time, but like with the gallery, people run right across and they grab a beer and mm-hmm. they have a good time. It's amazing, man. It's helping another local spot, and Gus is a great person. He's really open. I mean, for the freaking LGBT event that we just had, he decorated, and he had his cool. employees wearing shirts, and just a good, good person, man. And the whole staff, just awesome people.
What else is new?
Just everything going on, man, is trying to adjust, and we're trying to get more events happening there. The spot is just kicking ass. I just want to keep it moving, man. If I have the spot through July, I want to make sure that we are getting people circulating through there. Like we were talking about earlier, it's kind of like an out of the way spot. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the overpass, you have Lincoln Park over here,
and the new construction too, right?
New construction too, man, and that's the detour mm-hmm. to come off, and it's kind of tough, but the energy that's down there right now is incredible. People need to come out to experience it because
people need to stop being afraid to explore their city.
Yes, sir. Exactly right, man. Like look at driving out here. And I keep telling myself, like, I need to see the city more because there is beautiful, beautiful parts and beautiful old homes. There's just so much character to El Paso that we don't appreciate, man. And that whole, there's nothing to do here. Like, you're very wrong. Very wrong. There's a lot of character here.
There's always something to do, and there's a lot of beauty here that we don't realize.
Man. Yes, sir.
So after July, what do you have coming up for the fall for yourself?
So now I'm already starting to buy canvases. That's the next thing.
Yeah, you're re-upping, huh?
Yes, sir, man. Got to keep the energy going. Mm-hmm. COVID hit everybody, and that's a funny story. With the COVID thing, I had already started on my pieces. I had 17 pieces ready to go, and I was like, that's going to be the show. That's where I'm going to start, and 17. Lucky number 17. COVID happens. I have to sit down and be like, what the hell? Like, I can't show anywhere. What am I going to do? I go and buy some more canvases, and I start going at it again, man. I ended up with 30 pieces all the way through, and you just make it work, man. Freaking COVID.
How would you describe your style?
My style, man, for sure. I'm a pop artist. I call it Chuco Pop. Because
Chuco Pop.
Yes, sir. Chuco Pop. You know what? People Sometimes.
Let's give it a second. Oh, we're taking a Betty break. Before we go on, please subscribe and share. Thank you. So, Chuco Pop.
Chuco Pop, man. So, look at El Paso, man. It's just a special place. And, you know, growing up, I was watching anime from Juarez and being chisluchadores across the freaking bleeding from their head. And, you know, it's just insane what you see here. Freaking Candy and Super Campeones. I mean, you can't stop, man. So, to me, pop culture is something else than like any other region in the world. I think we have two influences. We have the American influence, and then we have the Juarez influence, which is Mexico.
It's funny you mentioned that, because the Juarez influence brought on the anime stuff before it was really hit in America.
Yes, sir.
Because I remember I had peers that were really into Dragon Ball, but I was like, God, but this cartoon, this Japanese cartoon, like, I guess it's cool. I didn't get the appeal then, but like now I understand the appeal. Like, Japanese animation, anime is cool. See, but, you know, the Borderland, I guess, was ahead of the curve.
Ahead of the curve, like a mother effer, man. And that's why I call it Chuco Pop, because I paint things that are like Japanese and, you know, Mexican, and it's just a mix, man. It really is what my soul has like grown around, and it's what I like to paint for sure, man. And pop art is the best way to get a message across, that, you know, people will, they'll take it in, because they understand the characters they're seeing and they understand the message behind it. So I feel it's less pretentious than like a girl crying in a corner or something, you know. So I'd rather paint.
It's like simple addition.
Yeah. Pretty much, man. That is the truth. So I'll paint a Popeye with the Sailor Moon body, which is part of this gallery show. And I painted her to just talk about gender norms, you know, and gender stereotypes, and how gender is fluid and we're becoming way more accepting as a society. And that makes me really happy for sure. So that's my Chuco Pop thing, man.
When you come up with a piece, do you already have an idea to convey in mind, or does juxtaposing the figures come first?
No, definitely. It's the idea. The idea comes first, because for a good 2 months, I'm thinking about what I'm trying to convey, what the title's going to be, which is a big, big part. I'm in advertising, and that's been my background professionally. So to me, it has to have like a bang, and the message behind it has to come first, and then you execute, you know, artistically. So for me, it definitely comes first, the idea, the concept.
So something has to piss you off, or something has to make you real happy.
Oh, man, you're so right. That's what I've been telling people. This series here is very colorful. It's very cartoony, but I was really pissed off these last two years when I produced this art, and that's what happened. I put it out on canvas, and I was pissed off at politics.
What do you call this series?
So this series was called Wanted.
Wanted.
Yeah, Wanted, and like I was telling people at the gallery the other day, I called it Wanted because I think artists tend to express themselves, you know, because they're quiet people and they don't really get to do that on a regular basis. And when you do get that chance, you put it out there and you genuinely want people to feel your vibe and to want your art and want your energy. So it was about like getting people to want you and feel happy about what you're doing. And geez, it's just been just such a ride. Just incredible, man. It really has.
What made you ultimately focus on pop icons?
Like I said, man, you can't possibly convey something easier than a shared icon, you know, that is in popular culture. You know, you see Speedy Gonzalez laughing at, you know, Donald Trump's tiny hand, and it's like, there it is. That's the message, you know. That's the message. You take from it what you want, you know. I didn't want to put Trump's face or anything. I put a tiny hand to kind of like stick it to him, but I also tell people, like, you know what, I respect your thoughts, your ideas, but this is what I'm expressing right now. And by using a pop icon like Speedy Gonzalez, which is kind of controversial, right? Like, people like to say he's a bad icon, that he's just bad to the Mexican culture. But to me, Speedy Gonzalez has always been a freaking superhero, man. He's taking it to the Pusigato every chance he gets, crossing and bringing the cheese to his compadres. Like,
he helps.
He helps, man.
Yeah.
And he punks them left and right.
And he has super speed. Like, come on, how is he bad?
Hell yeah, man. He's got a badass hat. He's a good dude, man. He really is.
You also use icons of the borderland, I noticed one piece that had iconography of the Border Patrol.
Oh my gosh, yeah, man. And, so
I'm trying to scroll through your Instagram real fast here.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite pieces, mm-hmm. one of the most powerful ones. You know, I have La Migra on there, and it says Cucuy in, the script for Coca-Cola.
And we all know the Cucuy.
We all know Cucuy. So that piece is, it's been one of the most impactful ones, and people really come up and try and, like, talk to me about it. And I wanted to convey how we're just so scared of La Migra here in El Paso. Mm-hmm. My mom used to scare me and tell me, La Migra, mijo, hide. And I'd hide under the car, whatever, do whatever I did. Yeah. But we do have a fear towards it, and the color alone, like, which has always been one of my favorite colors, because those Migra trucks were so recognizable and beautiful. Mm-hmm. But you do, man, you have a fear towards it, and just that concept, man, that fear of authority here, like, we have it, and we kind of subject ourselves to it, and we feel lesser than, you know, it's not a good thing. So I wanted to, you know, show how Americana, with the Coca-Cola script.
Yeah.
How we're Americans too, but we live in fear here. We really do. And we got to take our place and be better to immigrants, because we come here for a better opportunity and, oh, beautiful people. I mean, I'm a child of it.
I'm scrolling through your Instagram, and, like, you also do a few pieces on, like, I guess if you really think about it, about one of the more recognizable fictional immigrants, which is Superman.
Superman. Yes, sir. Oh my God. That's what's great, man. Different people are going to perceive it differently. And when I did the Superman, it's called Superfly, mm-hmm. and it's Mario and it's Superman combined together. And like you said, Superman's the ultimate immigrant, man. He's mm-hmm. from somewhere else. He doesn't feel like he belongs, and he's here to help.
Like, man. Speedy.
He's the American way, man. He really is. And
I also see a bunch of rosas and vacas and different animals.
I'm all over the place. And the mm-hmm. cows, for sure, is just Warhol influence, because he has a famous cow piece. But to me, oh, man, Andy Warhol was just a genius, man. He showed us beauty in mundane things and just made us see the world differently.
But you're right. Familiar figures and bright colors draw attention, and especially if it carries a message. What made you stick to the bright colors? Is it just because it's traditional and pop art?
I mean, it might be subconsciously just stuck in my head, but mm-hmm. to me, color is, I always try to, like, bring out the most energy and the most, like, positivity that I can, because sometimes the message is more negative and, like, critical. So juxtaposing that with color, mm-hmm. bright colors, neon colors, hot pink, which is one of my favorite colors, it gives it more dimension and it gives it more depth and like character. So yeah, man, like, I'm a color guy, and one of the best compliments I get is that people say, man, I saw your piece from a mile away. I knew that was you.
Yeah,
the art, the color, that's one of the notes,
right? And there, sometimes you use shades that, you know, I mean, all colors are recognizable, but you use certain shades that aren't used as much, but they're still really bright. And it's like, oh, I've never really seen that shade of blue or green, but, like, that's
Miggy.
That's peppy. That's poppy.
You're making me very happy right now, man, because, yeah, like, a lot of times.
Do you make those shades yourself?
Sometimes I do. Mix it yourself? Sometimes I got to mix it. Sometimes I'll find it. But, yeah, I like to really put colors together that you don't really see a lot, because it does. It catches the eye. And, yeah, man, now that you know, man, that the advertising for me is mm-hmm. definitely there in the art. And I'm trying to catch your eye, your attention, and that's what I'm in for, you know, for sure.
When did you start making art in earnest?
Oh, so see, that was 10 years ago. That mm-hmm. was 10 years ago, because I'd been drawing my whole life, doodling on everything I could. You know, my freaking notes from college are just full of drawings doodles. And stuff. Yeah, doodles, man, left and right. And I don't even know how I passed classes, because I was just drawing the whole time.
You know, they say that doodling means that you're actually paying attention, or that you're retaining still somehow.
Man, I'd agree, because, yeah, somehow. Somehow, for sure. And, yeah, like, you could even see a lot of the influence back then when I was drawing. Mm-hmm. And I was about to transition to maybe, you know, painting, but it all happened because me and my girl went to last Thursday's, and she's been an amazing support, my girlfriend Vanessa, and it just inspired me. I'm like, I need to paint. I need to put stuff on canvas. Mm-hmm. I need to show it, which is why, like, a lot of artists, I'll meet them, and they don't want to show their art. I'm like, no, man, that's the biggest part of it. Like, you need to put it out there, and why have it there and not be seen? Like, you're kind of wasting, like, a universal energy of creation. You know, you really are missing that.
What attracted you to painting? Because you went, I guess, from a doodler
to a painter.
To a painter.
Yeah, like, why I went there, because it's one of the easier means to express something big. You know, like, I had, like, a page in a book, a sketchbook, and when you do something big, like, you feel like the emotion is, like, bigger there. Like, it's more impactful for sure. And, oh, man, painting with acrylics has been the best freaking thing, because the colors are just so awesome. I'm a big, like, people wonder, like, how do you get your colors so saturated? I go over it, like, 3 or 4 times. I love to have that color be what the color is inside of the container. I hate when it's light, or I see other artists who don't do layers. Like, I kind of like, oh, man, you're missing out on the color there. But, yeah, I'm kind of anal about that. Love me some color.
If you're enjoying this interview, please subscribe and share. Thank you. So how long does it take you to complete a piece?
That depends on the piece and if I'm busy. But for the most part, it takes me about a month here and there. And a lot of times, like this series that I knew I had to get it done, like, I'll have them going in process and I'll work on one and then I'll move to the next one, let it dry. And I got a good system going, you know, I really do. And that's a big part of pop art too, because Andy Warhol is freaking the factory. He popped, he put art like crazy, man, all the time. So, well, that's what I want to keep doing.
He literally had a factory.
The Warhol
factory. Little minions.
Yes. I don't want that though. I don't want to get to that point. I want to always be the one producing the art.
Where are the screen prints at? Hurry.
Exactly, man. See, that might be cool. Doing that would be cool.
You already mentioned that you like to layer the paints. What other techniques do you like to use? Oof. I assume that you also use some spray painting, or no?
No, I haven't done spray paint yet. That's real clean. I just don't know how to go about it. I thought like that you have to like seal it or something, but I'm going to talk to my friends, and I know a lot of artists do use spray paint, but I, if anything, do the saturation with the colors. My technique is a lot of straight lines, and people ask, like, how do you get that? I use tape, man. I use painter's tape on a canvas, and you learn so much as you go, because in the beginning, I'd use the painter's tape, and then I'd leave it on too long, and it would tear off the whole. No. Yeah, so.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, man. There's horror stories, and it's just insane what you learn, and you know.
So it's straight up brush painting, but like you're taping some parts off.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Like, all the straight stuff you're seeing is definitely that. I live off of it, man. They call it what's it called? Tape therapy. Because it's really satisfying to get a really nice straight line, and it's just amazing, man. It really is.
Were some of the techniques that you use hard to learn?
You know. The technique, it's all been kind of YouTube, and I'm self-taught since I was small or anything. I didn't go to school.
But you also went to YouTube University.
YouTube University.
I've had a lot of guests, man.
Man.
I guess that's one thing that's really important for today, is that YouTube has so much you can learn from.
It's what the internet really was made for, you know, to like spread knowledge to the world. And man, there's no excuse. If you don't know something, go to YouTube. It's probably going to be there, and you execute. And that's how I learned a lot of technique. I learned about like using the painter's tape and, you know, brush strokes and how to hold your brush, all that hard stuff that you kind of learn in school. Yeah, I learned the hard way, school of hard knocks, but YouTube has been my buddy for sure. And I mean, technique is, it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's been a lot of just wanting to get the colors where I want, wanting to get the lines as clean as possible. Just order, you know? That's what I get off on for sure.
Do other artists ever trip out on your technique? Like, do you do, you know, like things that aren't often done?
They trip out, and this is what I hear the most. Oh, it's so clean, and it's so straight. And I'm like, well, yeah, man, it takes a lot of planning. If you want something to come out that clean and that colorful, you got to plan the time. You got to take your time with it. And I think a lot of like more abstract artists, or like artists who just go at it, Like, I hear them, and it's that's their style, but mine is very technical, very, I'm going to get this right. And,
yeah.
And that's the beauty of art, too. Like, the beauty that I've experienced with art is that it's allowed me to be in a controlled situation, but to also have, like, a problem arise and have to solve it right then and there. And to not stress out, man. I before art and painting, I think I was a stressful person because I'd freak out about things.
Yeah.
And now I see a little mistake or a drip of a paint that dried up on the canvas, and I'm like, okay, I'll figure that out. It's just so therapeutic. I mean, I recommend it to everybody.
Yeah.
It's art is a beautiful thing, and it's going to make you a better person for sure.
You mentioned handling the brush. So there's different ways of, like, handling the brush and to get brush strokes.
You know, flourishing and, you know, using your wrist and trying to get, different motions out of it. And it's so expressive. And, you know, you'll see a lot of artists who use a longer brush or who use a shorter brush. And I'm a shorter brush guy for sure. I like the control. You know, I like to have my my elbow and my forearm kind of on the canvas. This is a cool thing. You're going to be the first podcast I tell this to, but I don't paint on an easel. I paint with the canvas right directly in front of me flat. So I'm over it the whole time. Like,
you're
I'm
on the
drying.
Floor?
Sometimes I'm on the floor. Sometimes on the coffee table.
On the table.
But yeah, that's my technique.
Above. And you're above. You're hovering above it.
Hovering above.
Like,
man.
A god.
Exactly. Man. So when it's a big canvas, like, you got to watch out because you're pressing on it and you can, like, loosen up the canvas. But that's my technique. And, you know, that's another secret, I think, is that's how I get the colors so saturated, because they're not flowing down with gravity. You know, they're spot on. They're right there, and they're drying right then and there. So, yeah, take that. Whoever wants to execute like Juan does.
What's three tools that you need when you paint? I mean, besides the paint, but what's three tools that you absolutely need when you paint?
Cool question, man. For sure, I need my paintbrushes first and foremost, and I have so many. I got my little workers toolbox, whatever. I need a lot of rulers. I like rulers. I like clear rulers. I like metal rulers. It allows me to draw out the straight line that I want, and then that's comes to the next tool is tape, my painter's tape. I live by it. It helps me execute just really sharp lines and really saturated colors, because, like, That's how I get off, man, for sure.
You sound like you're easy to get Christmas gifts for.
Yes, sir. Oh, hell yeah.
Just,
man.
Get him a bunch of rope.
Get me tape. Tape for sure, man. Because tape is, you know, I got real lucky this last time I was at a swap meet, maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was this man, he was selling these thin, like, painter's tapes. I had never seen him at the store. I've never seen him anywhere else after. So this series, that was that tape, and it just was incredible, man.
Old stock.
I don't know what the hell they use it for, but it was amazing. Wow. So, yeah.
This is a little off subject, but are you going to paint dinos again?
Oh, that was, I mean, I might. If I find good stuff, I definitely will. I know for sure if I find a Godzilla, you know, the knockoff Godzillas that don't have, like, the things on the back. I'm going to do more of those for sure, because that was really, really fun. I also painted skulls. So I ended up painting 10 of those, 10 skulls. I'm actually working on one right now. That's a commission, painting it for a good friend. And it's really awesome to paint on something 3D, but it's very hard to, man. It's to control, and it's difficult. It's been a learning experience for sure.
Yeah, and, like, I'm a vintage toy collector, and so, like, when I first started seeing those pieces, because I like the Imperial dinosaurs, and I recognized immediately that you were using old school Imperial dinosaurs, and I was like, this guy, he's you're the other guy scooping them up at the flea market.
Yes, I am. That's me, man. I've seen you.
I'm the guy. I'm the other guy, I guess.
I bet you, man. I bet you grabbed a Godzilla off of me for sure, man. But, you know, like, that's what I see. They're unappreciated a lot of times. They get thrown away, and painting them
some
gives
of them
a new
are really
life.
Big.
Oh yeah, really big and heavy and perfect to paint on, man. They really are. You gotta wash them, madre, because if you don't, it'll start rubbing off the
paint.
What
kind of paint would you use on those?
So on those, I use modeling paint. Mm-hmm. So, like, car, like, little miniature car paints.
So modeling paint goes good on rubber and plastic.
It sticks.
Yeah.
It gets kind of sticky when it dries, but you just, you know, use a varnish and stuff. So yeah, So if you want to try it, do it, man. It's the best. It's really fun, and you got your canvas right there, and you do what you want with it.
Cool. We're almost done. Please do not forget to subscribe and share. Thank you. What's your favorite color?
Ooh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's red. I'm wearing a red shirt right now.
Red shoes?
Yes, sir. Red shirt, red shoes. Red's just passion to me, man. What a beautiful color. I mean, girls' lips and stuff. Like, red lipstick is the best. And I feel like I'm a passionate person, so that's my favorite color.
And in advertising, red is like the color that's used the most too.
Yeah, red. It's gonna draws you in. You know, Marlboro Reds. It's a powerful color. But second place, I'm always going to say second place is hot pink, man, for sure.
Hot pink, yes, red sir. And hot pink. But yeah. It's funny you mentioned Marlboros because we're of that generation where, I mean, I guess they use certain advertising icons that are recognizable to us, you know?
They've
like the Marlboro Man. See? Camel Cigarettes had the Camel guy.
Camel. What's his name? Camel Joe? Yeah, man, we're that generation. And I think kids kind of like missed out. Not missed out, but. Yeah, mascots and advertising.
We used to have huge. A clown sell us hamburgers.
Exactly, a real looking clown. Were you scared of Ronald McDonald?
No, I liked him. Yeah, I liked him and all his crew.
I didn't like his red hair. It's way too red, man. That's blood or something. Man.
What advice do you have for other artists?
Oh, paint. Do it. You're not gonna get anything bad out of it. You're just gonna thrive, and art is just an amazing thing, and I recommend it to everybody. But I mean that too. If you're not ready to be criticized for showing your art or hear somebody talking bad about your art, then it's not for you, because you know art's subjective and people aren't gonna like your art, and you gotta learn to have a thick skin for sure. But
yeah. Have you already gotten a weird or a bad review, or have you already experienced that?
What's weird is it happened really early on, and I guess that's probably when you get them. Mm-hmm. But I did have these two guys that didn't realize I was the artist, and I was standing kind of behind them, and I just overheard a little conversation about like, oh, this guy's a hack, and oh, this and that. And I was like, man, what the hell? Like, it was a crazy experience, but I also felt like, yeah, man, it's subjective, and if they don't dig the art, well, that's good. And as long as you're moving somebody in a positive direction or a negative one, plus at least you got an effect there for sure.
That's a good way of putting it. Art is for reaction.
Yes, if anything. And artists really get off on that reaction. And, oh, man, when you hear someone say that they like the piece, you're just on cloud nine. And I think you got to take the negatives, too, and be constructive with it. And no, don't go cry a little bit. But I know that you're going to move on from there. And 10 years later, you're going to feel really good about your art. And cool. You got to love it.
What does art mean to you?
Art is the universe expressing itself through a human being. Or, you know, I mean, I think animals even create art. Like, it's just one of the most beautiful things in the universe, because we're actually creating. We're giving out to the universe and something that maybe wasn't going to be out there, like you put into this world, and it's just the most satisfying feeling you can have. And I mean, I liken it to giving birth, you know, when you have a piece of art there, you're happy that it's out there and it's out of your mind and it's out in reality. So that's art, man. That's a beautiful thing for sure.
What's your social media? How can people contact you?
Social media. So it's an easy one. I'm on the Instagram and it's Juan Ornelas Art. I'm also on Facebook. That one's Focus Chaos, The Art of Juan Ornelas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, add me on Facebook too, Juan Ornelas. Yeah, that's about it. No website yet. I think that's the next step. Pero, yeah, check me out on Instagram.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that thank you for doing this, man. When you give artists a voice, you get people to, you know, listen and see what's happening in El Paso. Other than all the bad stuff, you get to see people that are really contributing and are putting themselves out there just for the cause of creativity. So keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I've watched so many of your podcasts, and you're one of the best in the city.
Cool, thank you.
So just keep it going, and know that you're like, it's not for naught. You're really doing a great service for the community. And again, thanks for having me. What a pleasure. I mean, we've been trying to get this interview for a while, and I appreciate it, brother. I really do.
No problem, man. And last thing, the tagline for your art, which I've noticed on Facebook, is Focus Chaos.
Yes, sir.
Focus what exactly chaos. Do you mean by that?
Focus the chaos of your life. Anything around you, make it be productive. Like, your story needs to be told. So all the chaos that's around you, focus it into one thing and be happy with what you're putting out. That's for sure.
Focus, everybody.
That's right.
Thanks for being on, man.
Thank you, sir.